Okay, so if I just go across, Deb, where are you representing a pony club, or are you representing TD?
I'm just representing, just interest for myself for TD.
Yep,
Yep.
cool. Georgina? Unmute.
I'm from Dardenup Post Horse and Pony Club.
Okay, thank you. Margaret?
Hello, I'm from Gidgiganup Horse and Pony Club. I'm really here as interested, and I represent the club in the eventing zones.
That's
Thank
fine.
you.
Great. Tracy, we know. Do you want to tell everyone where you're representing, Tracy?
The Calaberry Pony Club.
Cool. Now, where are we, Kathy?
Gidgiganup.
Yeah, from. Oh.
Kathy's.
Oh, is it? Oh, sorry. So
Kathy's.
Kathy goes to Gidgiganup. Kathy Mallory.
Fine, Horse and Pony Club.
Oh, Jennifer?
Mortlock Pony Club.
Thank you. Tansy? Want to back
Sorry,
off?
Mortlock Pony Club.
Thank you, Jan.
Pony Club.
Thank you, Brendan. Oh, you've got it there on your thing.
Yeah, dadding up.
Well done, Jess.
Avon Valley Pony Club.
Thank you, Natana.
Esperance Pony Club.
Thank you, and Simone.
Albany Pony Club.
Thank you. Jenny is on the eventing committee, so is Tracy, and Tanya's representative of Pony Club WA. Jenny's also from.
Capel?
Yep.
But there are meant to be
And.
other Capel representatives on here. Veronica Nix from Man Up was meant to be on here. Two ladies from Wellington are meant to be on here, so. Don't
Okay,
quite know where they all are.
they may join a bit later.
That's right.
Okay. And I'm also from Wallangarra Pony Club. So, all right. So I'm going to share the screen. I've done a slideshow. Share screen. Let's hope I do this right. Okay. Can you see what I can see? Slideshow from the beginning. Okay, so welcome everybody to the event organisers meeting. This is run by the State Eventing Committee, just with a few updates and a few queries and questions answered. There we go. Okay, just a few housekeeping rules. So if you can, if there's no background noise, it's okay to keep your microphone on. If you've got background noise, if you can just mute until you need to say something. If you would want to ask a question or have a query about anything, just press the little hand up emoji on your bar down the bottom. Everybody's got the right to speak, so we're not, prejudiced just with committee members talking. We would like everybody's input, and there will be different opinions. Obviously, not about the rules, but about different ways to do things. There's no right or wrong way with some things. We're just interested in getting other people's opinions on what they do at their pony club. Okay, I've just done a couple of slides that I stole from somebody else, all about the club structure. We basically know all this, but it might be a good idea to let your members know the breakdown of how we operate, obviously through Pony Club Australia at the top, down to the WA and the other states, down to your zones, subcommittees, and down to the clubs at the bottom. And just the club governance that we're with Pony Club WA. We've now got Just Go as our member enrolment. You have club committees and constitutions, your Pony Club WA handbook, codes of conduct, several policies, including disputes and complaints, member protection, and social media policy. The objectives of Pony Club is safety of the rider, comfort of the horse, enjoyment of the rider, and training of character, progress of the rider. So we're all about the horse and rider. It's not about the Olympics or getting there or anything. It's about the kids and their horses. This is just a brief outline of what we're going to cover tonight. So if you have a sort of quick look and think, okay, there's nothing mentioned about what I want to mention, at the end we've got questions. So you can just pop a question in there. You can either put it in the chat or wait till we get to the end and ask about that. If I start going too fast, just tell me to slow down or ask a question as we're going through, that's fine. Okay, eventing rules version one. So in the past, we've had eventing rules and we go by years. Last year, we ran under 2020 rules because we were waiting for new national rules to come out. They still haven't come out as yet. They're expected in July this year, but who knows, things can happen. So what we're going to do is to, when we have rules approved and we change the rules, we're actually going to call PACs versions. So we'll be running under version one or running under version two when it's changed. So you get to know, instead of a year, it's whatever version we're up to. Some of the new rules that are going to be approved by the board tomorrow night is the rider starting age. And there's just a couple of little changes. I've got a breakdown here that will be the amendments that have been put through. They will be up on the website once they all get approved by the board. The biggest change, I think, is the qualification of horse and rider combinations. In the past, we haven't had any qualifications, which means a rider could come in and start at one star or 105 without having to qualify anything beforehand. So we're following in the EA path and having a rider-horse combination qualifying from 95 centimetres up. We'll see how we go with it. It's going to be maybe a bit tricky to start with, but it's just trying to keep safety in mind that a rider doesn't get a new horse and jump straight in at 95 centimetres. Obviously, we want to see them qualified to come up through 80 centimetres and qualify for 90. They'll have the reverse qualifications, the same as EA. So if a rider has X amount of stops, cross-country runs, then they're asked to back down to 80 till the horse is comfortable again and then move up from there. Jenny, can you keep an eye on any hands up or anything? Because I can only see like three faces. So just let me know if anybody's got a question or anything to say, or just unmute yourselves and jump in. All the wording will be on in the rules, and obviously we might have a question about it on Facebook or something that we'll go through. There's another change to after elimination and lameness, and they're talking, they've added the word in obvious. So you don't have to have a vet check if there's an obvious lameness, which is obvious to the dressage judges, the gear checker, that sort of thing. What else we got? Yeah, so that's pretty much it. There's most of it is around the upgrading and downgrading and the qualifications. So that will be gone through in more detail for people. The organisers pack is the same as the eventing rules. We're going to go by versions. The one from last year wasn't updated. We were waiting for new rules to come through. It wasn't done. So we have now updated the organisers pack, and that should be up on Pony Club website soon, Tanya? Next few days?
I would think. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Tansy's got a hand up.
Okay, Tansy.
The obvious lameness, you were just talking about the dressage judge and elimination. Is there can the vet overrule the elimination from the judge?
Okay, so the wording says lameness, ask technical delegate to organise a vet check. To vet check the horse before jumping phases rather than eliminate unless obviously uncomfortable and obviously lame. So the word obviously has been put in. Then underneath it's got obvious lameness. There is no appeal against this decision. So I would think, I have got the rule in front of me, but I would think it wouldn't just be one person.
Dressage judge can't, from experience, judge a lameness of a horse. Where a vet check over the horse would rule out lameness. So that's what I'm just checking on.
Yeah, I haven't got the rule in front of me. It's just been the word obvious has been added in. So I can check on that later and see exactly who has the ruling. I'm pretty sure it would be a combination of TD, vet.
Yeah, I have
a gear check or someone. Okay.
Yeah, it would have to be worded very carefully that it's not just a dressage judge, because on my experiences around about I would probably have a few dressage judges that would put a horse out, whereas I would prefer it being a vet's opinion.
Yeah. I think obvious lameness would be covering the horse dragging its leg on the ground.
I can't find my hand up thing, sorry. I was just going to say only because that exact incident happened at the State Eventing Championships last year. The dressage judge deemed the horse to be lame and eliminated it, and the vet came out and checked it and said, this horse is not lame at all. It's just his movement. It's just the way he gaits that it happens to be his movement. But there was an issue because the dressage judge has eliminated them, but at least the vet could overrule that and say, well, no, I'm perfectly happy for this horse to continue.
Yep, yep. So we'll double check on that to make sure it's not just that one person's, but I would think just having the obvious in there is going to be, if it's dragging its leg on the ground, it's obviously lame.
Yep.
Okay. Anyone else for that one? No. All right, so, yeah, the organisers pack will be on the website as well. It is handy for new committees or people new into organising events to have a look. There's some great documents on there. Just gives you a breakdown of what is needed, when, like before, during and after the event, with all the paperwork and things that you need to do. Okay, social media policy. Pony Club WA does have a social media policy, and it's very important that all riders and parents of riders know the policy and know the consequences. At Wollongarra, we have one of our theory lessons at the very beginning of the year is on social media policies, because you get a lot of kids that are new to Facebook, new to Snapchat, Instagram, all of that sort of stuff, and they just need to know how important it is to maintain certain standards. At a rally we've done in the past, we've given them tubes of toothpaste. We say, squeeze it all out, or, you know, tubes or whatever, squeeze it all out onto a plate. Okay, this is what you put out on social media. Now put it back in the tube. And obviously you can't. So you're trying to get the idea that once you put something out across, it's not going to come back again. And they might say, oh, I've removed it, but people have taken screenshots of it. They've sent it on to other people. It spreads really quickly. We have had a couple of riders that I've banned from our ODEs due to their social media policies, social media posts that they've had. Where they've sort of basically bad-mouthed the club. We'd never ride there again. So, okay, fine, I'll take them for their word. And I've got them on a blacklist. So it is within clubs' rights to do that. So just make sure riders are very aware of what can happen on social media. Anyone else got any ideas, anything that they do at rallies in regards to this? No, I've seen, we've done ones at school where you have an apple and sort of behind the scenes you drop an apple, so it's quite bruised but looks okay on the outside. One apple is passed around that's not been dropped and you speak kind words to it, you tell it how lovely it looks, all this sort of stuff. The other one you pass around that you know has been dropped, or you inject ink into it, you curse it, you tell it looks horrible, it's a bad apple, and then you cut them and the kids can see like the damage in the apples. I teach pre-primary, so it's like... little stuff, but it's just good visual things for the kids to realise. Anyone else got ideas? No? Go through. No one else? Hands up? Okay. All right, we'll keep going. Okay, so EA put up a rule of the week. I think either Tessa Sharman or somebody puts up a rule with EA, and it's a discussion about it. It's a breakdown of the rule. We're going to do that for Pony Club as well, because I think it's great. Riders can then put an input to say, oh, you know, I'm not sure on this rule or what happens here. So we're going to do that. Peter Cook is going to be instigating that on our Facebook page, the Eventing Facebook page. But also get your riders to look at the EA rules, because they're very similar, to have a look and then to see if it's different to the Pony Club rule, or read the ones that they're putting out, because they could all be different. Just to make sure they're aware of the different rules between EA and Pony Club, but it is their obligation to know the rules as they're competing. Do we have any chats there? Okay, thank you. okay, so yeah, hopefully we'll get that started in the next week, and I mean maybe the eligibility and writing down qualifications might come up first because it's something new. Or different rules that people may not be aware of, but they're in the rule book. Okay, where are we? Okay, new dressage scoring. I did mean to put an example in here, but I haven't got to it. There is a new scoring system in place for dressage test. Instead of other errors, which was normally 2 points or 4 points for carrying a whip or use of voice or whatever it was, the judge could give 2 points or 4 points and you just took that off the total. Now it's going to be scored as a minus 0.5 of the total score. So it's going to be a technical fault. So it's not to do with the course errors. That's the what was before the other errors. Now it's going to be a technical fault. So the higher your score, the more percentage is going to come off. That's 0.5 of the total score. We will try and get one scored so you can see it and post it up on the Facebook page to get people to realise, you know, what's going on. And hopefully the K-Trial system will actually pick it up and do it automatically. But just so that people are aware that it's not now 2 points or 4 points, it's a 0.5%. Okay. Technical delegates. I think how many are we down to, Tanya?
A very small number. I'm not sure what it is, but it's tiny. I think
it's under 10. We've got 5 or 6 maybe. They do the whole state. So if you've got families that are involved in Pony Club and maybe the kids have grown up and left Pony Club and they're still interested in being involved, technical delegates are a great way to go, especially if they love the rules and things. There's also other things they can help with, course designers, cross-country course designers, technical delegates, coaching, committee members, things like that. So if you've got people that are interested, point them in the direction of the committee members so we can sort of help, you know, help them along to see if they're interested in becoming any of these, take on any of these roles. Okay, medical. There's new medical guidelines coming into effect in July. They will, I think they have been sent out to clubs, Tanya, or not quite yet?
No, we're actually hoping that they'll be sent out to us by the end of this month.
But, okay.
Yeah. And I thought that it was effective immediately with the medical ones, but...
Okay.
Until they actually come out, we're unsure exactly what the result will be.
But basically there won't be any exemptions. These are the rules that you run under. The bigger the event, the more medical staff and training you need. There'll be a baseline for events under, I think it's like 50, then under 100. But obviously the more numbers you have, the more experienced medical staff needed. Where are we? Yep. So it's also required to have a setup area, a separate area set up as a medical first aid room. In the past, I know people haven't got room, you know, a set little room set aside. We've started using a tent just as like a setup if need be. It's just so that like at state eventing, we had a spectator was injured quite badly. And she was brought, it was only a child, she was brought into the score room as a quiet place to be, but obviously that's affecting the scorers. So you just need somewhere quiet. So if somebody needs to be calmed down or to, you know, sort of waiting for an ambulance or whatever it is, just somewhere quiet for them to be able to go with parents and things without interrupting anything else that's going on. And please make sure riders know the rule that they have to report to medics for a fall anywhere on the ground. So even if they're warming up or they're walking somewhere, they have to go and see a medic and get checked. If they don't and they leave the event, it's a yellow card, which means they have to get a medical clearance before they compete at the next event. So these cards are issued and tracked for every event. So if the rider has a fall off in the show jump warm-up, does the show jumping and then decides they're going home without seeing a medic, they will be yellow carded before their next event. Jennifer.
Is there going to be a way that event organisers can have, when people enter, that there's going to be a way that they can look up that person and see whether or not they've got a yellow card? Because if that person, like on entry packs, it's not going to ask, have you been yellow carded?
Yeah. The TDs will have released.
So, but does that mean we have to provide... It's just, I'm just trying to find another way rather than us then going to the TD, here is the entire list of people that have entered. Has any of these got a yellow card?
Yeah.
And we can't ring the office and ask the same thing.
Yeah. We looked at supplying event organisers.
It works more vice versa. Yeah. So the TD will come to you as an event organiser and say, has such and such entered because they have been yellow carded? Rather than you having to provide the information, the TD will come to you and say, hey, this person's got a yellow card. Have they entered your event?
Okay.
Good question. Concussion card. So it's the same thing with a concussion card. If a rider's issued with a concussion card, they have to get a medical clearance if they ride before the 3 weeks. So if the medic on the ground thinks it's suspected concussion and gives them a concussion card, they just need to go to the doctor, get it checked. If it is a concussion, they have a 3 week compulsory ban. If it's not concussion, they get the medical clearance. They just present that at the next event they go to. That again will go through the TDs. So the TDs have a list of anyone who's been issued a concussion card and the date. So then they've got their 3 week, that sort of thing. We are putting the onus on riders a bit at rallies, or if they've had a fall at home and had a concussion, we still want them to adhere to the 3 week ban, because obviously there's serious complications that can arise if they do have a concussion and they continue to ride. So maybe just make sure all your riders know that even if they fall off at home and get a concussion, they hit the fence or they hit the deck, go and get a medic check to make sure that they don't have a concussion. You could do a rally lesson on, you know, what concussion looks like, what are the symptoms, so that riders know, oh, okay, if I can't remember what happened in the last half an hour or keep repeating things or they start vomiting, obviously there's an issue there that they need to do. Horse falls. I didn't actually know this one. It's compulsory to get a check from the vet if the horse has a fall. And I sort of thought, okay, if the horse gets up, it's fine, that's all right. But the same as the rider, if the horse falls, they have to get a vet check from the vet on the grounds before they leave. No other questions? So we will make sure as soon as those guidelines come out and have been approved, we will make sure they go straight to clubs, so you can know from that. Margaret?
Julie, I was wondering, with the vet check, does that mean though that we have to have a vet on course as well? Or are we talking about getting a vet check after the event?
Good point, because the vet's only compulsory for the cross-country phase. So maybe that was in under cross-country. Jenny, have you got more info on that one?
No, sorry, I don't.
Yeah, we'll have a check on that one, Margaret. That's a good point.
Thank you.
Because obviously if a horse falls in show jumping, you may not necessarily have the vet on course then, or if a horse falls in dressage. So I'll make sure I get that one checked out.
Thank you.
It may have come under cross country, so let's write a note.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Margaret. Start box. I know it's really hard to get people to go in the start box. You have normally two timers, or like two timing people, and a starter. The starter is quite important to be somebody that's calm, somebody that's organised, and sort of, you know, puts the rider at ease as they go out. If you've got eventing clocks to be used, the TD is always capable of helping you get that set up. We try and have the same people on the start and finish, or do like a really, if we're doing it, if it's a half day shift, have the same people, don't sort of swap them around. If it's a full day and you don't have them on the for the full day, try and do at least just only two shift changes, not multiple shift changes. And also to go through the start and finish procedures with riders. That's another area that's come up as saying, hey, these guys need to know a bit more about this. There's a bit of confusing issues as far as can riders walk through before their time goes, you know, what happens if they start beforehand. So just make sure you're clearing it up with riders so they're all aware and they're not going to get penalised unnecessarily. Okay, rally ideas. These are just some ideas that have come up from state eventing champs that we've thought perhaps clubs could cover. You don't have to, but it's just as a, you know, hey, this might come up and let's look at this one. Pace work, cross country. So how to ride to wet and boggy conditions. Obviously, if you're doing your pace work on nice, flat, dry surfaces, it's going to be a lot different to how to ride to wet and boggy conditions. And at the state event, the TD did put down penalties for riders who rode too fast because it was wet and boggy. They thought they still had to make time. So it's a good idea to go over those things with the riders. Trot up procedures. So from 95 centimetres and above, we're going to do a trot up. When you do EA events at your what are they, Jenny? CCNs, CCIs? I get mixed up.
CCI.
CCIs. They do trot ups for 105 and up. So it's a good
They also do them at nationals. So this is an event going to nationals. So that's why we've introduced it.
Yep. And the riders, from what I hear, loved it. So, and it's good for other people to watch. So it's a good idea to go through. Roxy's going to write up a trot up procedure for us, and we'll have that posted. That might be one of the information things that go out on Facebook, or it could just be something sent to clubs. Correct starting from the start box. So that goes back to the last one to make sure they're starting the right way. Walking a course, cross country and show jumping. So as you can see from the photos, one of our instructors, that's part of her lesson. The kids get off, they've got to walk the course, they learn how to do the striding, they learn, you know, what all about the flags, all that sort of stuff. Just etiquette in the show jump arena. That's a different idea there. Okay, any questions? I'm going to stop sharing. Anyone have any questions?
What I find a little bit frustrating is on course changes and riders take forever to walk a course.
Yeah.
Is there a way that we can sort of put a, like a time frame on it? Because, you know, like when you're trying to get events through and done, you know, some of these kids just dawdle.
You can sort of like if you've got your time limit that your next class is starting, 2 minutes to go, just yell out, course is closing in 2 minutes. That's it.
Yeah, I just think it should be like
you have to get off.
Yeah, like an education thing through rallies. Yeah.
Yep, yep. So walk in a timely manner. They've got to walk with their helmet on. They've got to walk with their whip. All the things that they need to do for show jump competition. That's another good thing to add for rallies. Anyone else have any questions?
Julie, we just had one around, just around having access to see people's memberships with the Just Go. We can't see that, so we don't know when people are entering, whether they're actually registered and insured and all those kind of things in the new system.
Okay.
So it's just something that we'll need to get sorted for us to be able to manage that properly.
Yep. Tanya, do you have any information on that?
Yeah, that is something that we're working with Just Go, the developers, about those sorts of things. All the states have made that same observation that they've lost the ability to do those checks. So hopefully that will come back soon, Brendan.
Okay, there's a question from Jennifer. Okay, the only change I had to the starting age was the I'm not sure which height it was, but updated wording as of the 1st of January of the calendar year, 13 years. So was that for 95 centimetres, Jen, or...? For 95?
Yeah.
95, so it's still 95. The same age for the 45 centimetres. It was just for the bigger heights, that instead of it being the rider turns 14, it's the 13 years to make it in line with other disciplines. Any other questions?
I've got one.
Yes.
COVID.
Ooh.
Okay, so, Capel's running their CCN event in a couple of weeks' time, and we've put in our information pack, as per the EA wording, that we can take up to 50% of the starting fee as an administration fee if our event gets cancelled.
Mm-hmm.
That is as per the EA wordings. What are other clubs thinking of doing? If your event gets cancelled 1 week out because of COVID, would you guys feel comfortable putting this sort of information in your information pack?
Anyone have an idea?
I would feel really bad as an organiser. I know there's a lot of work to go in, but also events are expensive. And it's not that person's fault. I get it's not the organiser's fault that it got cancelled, but it's also not that person's fault that it got cancelled. And to turn around and just go, oh, you've just lost half your money through no fault of your own, I do find that a little bit harsh.
Up to 50%. I don't think we would take 50%. The wording says.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if it was 10%, but... I mean, I know we had something similar happen to that to us, and we basically said we will try and postpone it. We postponed to a new date, and those people, we ended up losing 10 competitors. Those people that couldn't come, we reimbursed them. I think we reimbursed them almost their entire fee.
Yeah, we did.
Yep. So
I think the bigger events too, there's a lot more expenses early on securing people. So it might make a difference. But if we sort of, we don't have to agree on, we give a certain percentage, but just if we're aware that that's what clubs may be doing to help cover the costs that are spent before the event.
Yeah. I think it would definitely have to be very clearly noted, I think almost in big bold letters, so that people really understand that if that's what that club is doing, then they need to make it clear that that's what they're doing.
Yeah. What's in your event organisers' information, isn't it, Jenny?
But you run the risk of people not signing up till very late in the piece then, so you won't really know what your attendance is going to be until the week before or something like that.
Yeah. I think another thing that came up at the EA meeting was refunds for people who have to quarantine because of COVID or exposure to people, that people are going to maybe not sign up until the last week, thinking that we're like, okay, I don't want to lose my money, or, you know, not sure what's going to happen. So it could be that event organisers are going to be under the pump a bit after that. We have to see. Okay, so Albany Pony Club, give them the money back as they did last year when they cancelled. Did you give full refunds, Simone?
Yes, we did.
Okay, yep.
I think you might also need like a bit of a SOS. I'm not sure whether it's through eventing committee or who it's through, whether like officials as well get unwell leading, you know, into the week of the event and they also can't attend, and there might be others around that, you know, if the call goes out, they can do like a last minute replacement for them.
Okay.
Do you just like the committee or PCWA or
yeah. Do we have a list anywhere, Tanya, of updated dressage judges?
There's one about to go up onto the website. We've just had a couple of names added to it. So
okay.
Yeah. But otherwise, yeah.
On what Deb said, I'm just thinking, is there, what would happen, for example, where you're running a one-day event and you've got your TD and your course designer, and then suddenly, exactly what Deb said, your TD goes, I can't be there now. What happens in that instance if no one else can fill the spot? Because you're now going to be, are we going to be forced to cancel an event, or is there a way that eventing will allow, say, a course designer? Because I know a course designer and a TD can't TD their own course, but if your course designer happened to be a TD, would eventing turn around and go, well, we can't supply you with a TD, but we're going to allow this to happen, allow the course designer also be the TD? It's
Jenny, do you want to answer that one? This came up at a meeting, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I think we'd have to take it on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. So say for argument's sake, you've got Peter Cook doing your TDing and he can't make it. Therefore, we'd put out a call out to all the TDs to see whether they were available. If they said no, then we would go to EA and ask the EA TDs. Even though they're not Pony Club, they're EA TDs, we'd ask them whether they were available. And if then they said no, then we would go to Rick and say, what is our next step? Where do you think we should go from there? He would probably, the information that he gave us, would that he would probably allow something else to happen. But what that something else is, we don't know until we test the water.
How would that go about? How would that go with money, though, as well? I'm just thinking, like, we're a fair way out, so we get TDs close to us. If we found that we had to then, say, get an EA TD that says, yeah, I'll come from Albany, we're going to be forking out a fortune then for them to come and to our event, and we wouldn't have budgeted for that at all.
I guess it would have to be taken on a case-by-case basis. I know what you're saying. Yes, it's going to be an expensive exercise if we get somebody from Perth to come down to you. But, you know, if we go around, turn around and say to Rick, okay, Rick, we can get such and such down there and it will cost them such and such in travel, or we can get the CD to do it and it will only cost them this much so they won't run at a loss. I'm pretty sure Rick would be very community and club orientated. So I'm sure he'll go, yeah, okay, I can see where you guys are coming from. I'll sign off on this.
Yeah, so they're open to all messages. No, that's great.
So we'd look for solutions, yeah.
Yeah, it's worth discussing. So we're all on the same page about it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And the biggest thing is mitigating the risk as well. So obviously Rick's biggest thing will be the risk assessment, and then he'll go from there. So I'm sure that it'll work out somehow.
Yeah. So just so that clubs are aware to have a COVID cancellation or COVID-influenced event policy ready when you put out your information, what are you going to do for riders that have to quarantine or have to, you know, be isolated, whatever? What are you going to do if you get a cancellation, and maybe have that ready to go in your organiser's information pack? So we might, you know once the first event's over, we might know more from there what's going to happen. But it's really going to be case by case to see what's coming up and whether riders are feeling secure in going to events further away or whether they just want to stick to ones closer to home. We really can't tell. So as far as we can have planned, everybody should have their event that doesn't clash with any other events. So that's what we sort of planned on. People can opt for a second event on a date that can clash with somebody else's second event, but it can't clash with anybody's first event. So if you want to run an event on the same weekend as Wooraloo or an EA event, that's up to your club and up to whether you can get a TD and dressage judges. But if you want to run a second event and it's going to clash with a pony club's first event, you won't be given a TD allocation for it. Tansy, you've got a question?
Yeah, just back to the COVID pack for the organisers pack, sorry, the COVID plan. Is PC going to put out something, Tanya, in the e-news or something to let organisers, not just organisers, but the other members know, so that they don't just suddenly come across this on an event pack and go, well, what the hell's going on? So, you know, when we say they're going to take 50% of their entry or 20% or whatever.
I think that is something that we can promote, that different clubs will have different policies, but I don't think Pony Club WA will actually endorse a certain amount, because obviously that's an individual club's decision. But
they will be putting something out about it.
We can certainly add something in to the next one, just advising that to read the entry packs carefully, specifically regarding refunds.
Yeah,
I think that's probably the easiest thing we can do. But we are referring people back to Sports West and all the guidelines and things that are coming through. So one of the important things that I think I've noticed is around the serving of food, and particularly that you can't have seats around your canteen, because then you're actually having to check for vaccinations. So food has to be a takeaway. Otherwise, you're really in a situation that you're going to be quite stuck. I did actually ask Rick to clarify with them, and he did it at a meeting, as to whether or not if the club had tables and chairs inside the clubhouse and people took them out themselves onto the veranda, would that constitute, people doing takeaway and having sort of their own tables and chairs? And he said no. It was very clear that the venue having the tables and chairs there provided seating. So just have to be really cautious about that.
Yep. Well, we've got our tet this next weekend, as you know. So I know it's not eventing, but we've been through all that with Sports West, with the canteen and our local CEO at the Shire regarding it. Can't have any food served that is not takeaway. So, yep. But they can still come into the club room without being doubles, but you cannot have food being served that is not takeaway.
Yep. Tansy, we'd love your feedback after your event of any things that came up that other event organisers might come across or might run into. any issues or anything that worked really well. If you could just sort of do a brief rundown and send to the eventing committee, that'd be great.
Well, I'm sure Jenny can do that.
Who?
Jennifer.
She's nodding. Okay.
Can I just ask Tanya as well with the food? Sorry, Tanya. Just getting on that. How is it going to work then, seeing as we are also running the state TET in April when we provide an evening meal?
They'll
have to have their own camper chairs and sit around wherever they would sit their floats or whatever. But, yeah, we won't be able to have sort of a big communal quiz night or anything like that we've been having.
If the club wants to take on the responsibility, are we able to do it so we only serve takeaway food, but if we had chairs set up and someone was prepared to say the check double vaccinations, would people allowed to then be sit if we turned around and had someone make sure they were double vaxxed?
Yeah,
I think you're
going
to have to look at it once as time goes by.
No.
Just say no.
You know, things are going to keep changing, and you're just going to have to keep looking at things as time goes.
Mm. Would you want to be that person, Jennifer? people actually, we get really.
I think it could get quite volatile.
Yeah,
exactly.
I own a cafe, and you don't want to do that, Jenny.
Okay. Yeah. Margaret.
I've not seen what's in the organisers pack at all. Can I ask you, when we're talking about ways of managing the situations which could arise, do we have a risk assessment within the organisers pack? So it's almost like a checklist. And we go, you know, if this happens, what's our risk for this happening? And if it happens, this is what we'll do. We'll call X, Y, Z, and then ultimately we call Rick. Do we have a checklist like that for newbies like myself?
No.
Is it worthwhile looking at something like that? Is it worthwhile? Obviously, you have a lot of experience, as do many other people on the meeting at the moment. Is it worthwhile picking people's brains about what can go wrong? You know, you're inundated with rain, or it's going to be a 46-degree day, or, I don't know, there's an insect plague, or I don't know.
There's different sort of policies for different things that crop up. So there is like a hot weather policy. There is a weather policy, those sorts of things.
Yeah, sure.
Other like risk management, your big EA events always have your risk management plans. Each ODE for Pony Club has a risk management plan, and it varies different Pony Clubs. Like our risk management might be completely different to Dardanup's, might be completely different to Kalgoorlie's, to Albany's. So there's not a standard one, because you've got to add in bits and pieces that's relevant to your club. Your TD is a good one to talk to. They've got experience in all sorts of different clubs, and they would, when you have your risk management meeting or your crisis management meeting, there's a check sheet there of what needs to be covered in that meeting, as far as, you know, if there's a horse down, what happens, who's this and who's that, if there's a ride or fall, if there's a fatality, and it's got the checklist there of who's going to be the person calling the ambulance, who's going to be the person handling, you know, whatever it is. Is for that. So that's basically the only one that's in there, but otherwise your club does their own risk management relevant to their club.
Okay, thank you.
Margaret, we have a very comprehensive risk management, which I can show you.
Thanks, Jen. That's great. No worries. Thank you.
And Jen, I was just about to plug your booklet from the State Coaching School and say that there's a really good risk register in there. So obviously that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, a basic one. Yeah, ours is a bit bigger than that for the event, but yes, definitely. Yep, no worries.
Okay, any other questions? Yes, Kathy, Mallory? Where'd you go? You're muted, you need to unmute. Okay, yep. No, you've muted yourself again.
I was just going to follow up with that question and say, you know, use your TDs to help you guide you along on those certain things, you know, that crop up.
Kathy.
But I would be interested in seeing Jan Larry's risk management plan as well, if that could maybe get sent out.
Am I
unmuted
now, Julie?
Yes, you're unmuted now.
Yeah, can you? Cool, sorry, I'm really not good at these things. I was wondering if we're going to get support on the club office when we've got riders at 95 or above in terms of checking their qualifications, because that's a fairly complex thing to do, because it obviously has interaction between EA events and Pony Club events. I'm a bit worried about it.
Yeah, Roxy's going to liaise with Sue Warren. Sue's got a very good idea of, obviously has an extremely good idea about all the EA ones. We're going to start liaising with her to add in Pony Club ones as well. We don't have the number of riders that they look after, like riding 95 and above. We've only got sort of like the two, maybe three grades above that. So it's not as many, but it's just a sort of happy to, I just read happy. It's just as easy to keep track of those in liaising with Sue.
And the other thing, Kathy, is
I know Sue does EA very well. So, yeah, I was wondering if we're going to have some sort of similar support.
One of the things that Roxy and I discussed today was having organisers add the questions for the qualifying events for those riders.
When they enter, it's part of the question. Now, have you had three runs at 95 or... And then maybe
or
just
even listing your qualifying events where you've got the qualifications.
Like we do for the state eventing, where they have to list their two qualifying events and their scores. Any other questions? All right, now I know she might have a conflict of interest, so I'm going to bring it up. K-Trials will be up and running for this year. Obviously, clubs don't have to use K-Trials. You can use other systems if you've got another system or whatever. But we do have support here in WA for K-Trials. We've got some very experienced K-Trials people that are more than happy to look over your events before you open them to, you know, assist with scoring issues or whatever. Just yell out. Any other questions? No one's got their hand up. This is a lot quicker than the EA meeting, Jenny. Okay, well, if no one's got any other questions, if we might call it. Oh, yeah, I know. We might call it a night, but take back to your clubs things that you've learnt on here, some ideas. If you come up with great ideas that you've done at your Pony Club rallies for trot ups or for social media policies or whatever, please share them on the eventing page so that other people can see your successes. Or put up questions saying, we want to do this at the rally. Has anyone done it? You know, what can we get help with this for? So, yeah, just try and help each other out, because there's no point reinventing the wheel if someone's already done it really well.
Also, just really quickly, we are trying to make the eventing world, Pony Club realise that we are eventing. We don't get a heck of a lot in the newsletter. Please, 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 after you run an event, just give me 100 words of how your event went. And I don't care from what perspective. It can be from the rider's first ride to a TD's or whatever. Just 100 words so we can put it in the newsletter so people know we are out there, we're out there eventing, and we're a great committee or a great community, should I say. Mm-hmm.
I was about to say the same thing, Jenny. Well done.
With photos, there's always, you know, put some photos in.
Yeah.
And then we can, you know, mention your sponsors or whatever. Just get something back to Jenny or to the committee. Okay, so that's it from everybody. Thank you very much. Best wishes for a great eventing year and an uninterrupted year, hopefully. So good luck to everybody for their events.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Jenny and Tanya, do you just want to stay on?
Yep.